This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
But Hoss Spencer is here, and we have the breaking news today that Judge Paul Petros has issued his ruling. Is this a ruling or a commentary?
This is his opinion letter.
Okay, an opinion.
What this does is this directs the parties. I don't know if you go to a lot of trials, but typically when a judge issues an opinion, he then asks the one of the lawyers for one of the parties to write up an order, and that's what the court will sign, and then before the other side gets a chance to look at it.
Okay.
The judges basically get the lawyers to do their work.
Ah.
That's nice.
That's a great gig.
It is a great gig. But actually, this is a fairly comprehensive one. This is a 6-page letter that Judge Petros issued this morning. And the University of Virginia emailed it out at mid-morning, and I forgot to check my inbox, so I walked down to the courthouse with my $3 in cash. I was like, I heard you got a little opinion. Here's my cash for the copies.
Well, get you out of the office.
It was nice to get out of the office. Just like it's nice to get out of the office here when you invited me over. I don't know a ton more than your own news department, but it's nice to be here.
Hoss, you can stop by anytime you want. You don't need an invitation.
Well,
shucks. You can just come up to the window. And say, hey, Coy, it's Hoss.
I'll do
that. What are you doing in there? Doing a little radio? So this decision, this whatever it is, this opinion.
Yeah.
What did it say? And remind us again, he's opining on what exactly?
Okay, this is the controversy between the Attorney General of Virginia, Ken Cuccinelli, in his quest for old emails from a climate researcher by the name of Michael Mann, now ensconced at Penn State. Michael Mann used to be ensconced on the faculty of the University of Virginia.
Didn't he do that TV show back in the 80s about the cops in Miami, Miami Vice? Wasn't that Michael Mann?
I don't think so.
A different Michael Mann.
He did the hockey stick graph.
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, of course. Of course I am. Miami, hockey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
very
same
popular
thing
down there, I'm sure. So, but the Michael Mann is kind of a centerpiece of the climate controversy going on worldwide. Ever since the emails were leaked out last fall from a British university, some of the emails showed him and other climate researchers being a little petty, jibing, jabbing at their doubting colleagues, and in some cases urging that esteemed journals should not publish articles by some of the other climate researchers who took a slower or a negative view on global warming.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
because they didn't support global warming, or because they didn't think the research was any good?
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
because it's okay as a scholar to say, hey, I don't think your research is any good. We shouldn't publish it. That's called peer review.
Exactly.
You know, that's how it works
in
all these fields.
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question, because it looked like from some of the emails that they were kind of trying to shut these dissenting voices out, which would not be really part of the scientific process or the spirit of...
Follow truth wherever it may lead.
Yeah, exactly. If the truth says we're actually in a cold cycle or something, you want to know that your researchers are going to be open to that. I don't know whether or not that's the case, but you want to think that your researchers are moving in any direction that the data should lead. And in what the Attorney General was trying to do was... He was trying to use a fraud statute that was passed by the Virginia legislature in 2003 called FATA. It really should have been called FAT, F-A-T, Fraud Against Taxpayers, but they went ahead and called it FATA.
So it would sound Middle Eastern and Islamic, I guess, like a fatwa.
Well, I guess they just didn't want it to say FAT, so they just added ACT on at the end, because all laws are originally acts.
Yes.
And it was called the Fraud Against Taxpayers Act. But what the judge did today was he found that the inquest under FATA had to get blown out of the water, because he didn't state with reasonable specificity why he was looking for the old emails. Now, he did, however, leave the door open to a new filing by the Attorney General if he gets a little bit more specific on what he's looking for, and also if he confines his search to the one of the 5 grants in question. And let's back up for a second.
Only one of which had state money in it.
That's right. The rest were just federal grants.
So the Attorney General doesn't have any right to look into those.
That's what the judge said.
Yeah.
So we don't know whether...
I think, as I read his ruling, I think he clearly basically tells the public and the attorney general, this is a fishing expedition, which is what I said it was from the very beginning. You just want to read this guy's emails, hoping you'll find something damning, but you really don't know what you're looking for, and you've never really given any strong case why you need to read these emails. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, but I'm not agreeing with you. I have no game, no dog in this hunt, but yeah, that's what the argument was. And
I think
the judge blew the thing out of the water. And
yeah,
but
he
yet,
did. He
the
did.
First person to issue an opinion on this or a spin on it was the Attorney General's office, which said, oh, we're so delighted with the victory.
Yeah.
And most reporters in town were like, well, wait, I thought the thing got thrown out.
It's called spin.
Yeah. Channel 29, apparently, in their first draft of the story, bought the spin, but then they thought better of it and downplayed that.
Yeah. We're talking with Hollis Spencer of The Hook. Your thoughts on the Attorney General's search for emails and records from the UVA professor at 977-1070. I don't see how you read this and don't see Petros saying this is a fishing expedition. Number one, you've given no reason to read these emails. And number two, you say you're looking for some kind of fraud against the Virginia taxpayers. And yet there's only one instance here where he's getting Virginia taxpayer money.
Yeah, can I tell you one little funny secret?
On the radio?
On the radio.
Of course you can. Should you whisper?
Yeah, whisper. Okay. No, I asked both sides. See, journalists have a tool, and any citizen has a tool, which you know about, called Freedom of Information Act request, popularly known as FOIA.
Yeah.
FOIA. FOTWA.
Yeah.
And I asked both sides, why not, if you really want the information, just file a FOIA? And the AG's office said, we don't discuss strategy. And the UVA office said, there might be costs associated with FOIA. But basically, neither side disagreed with my point that any citizen could just walk in and go, hi, I'm willing to pay for the copying. I'd like every email Michael Mann ever sent.
Yeah, you could just FOIA that.
I could do that today. And unless they could show why the cost should be some huge cost, I could get all of those emails without anybody being able to put up any kind of legal fight. In fact, you could if they don't give it to you, they're penalties, like financial penalties.
Yeah.
So
and it's not like there's state secrets there. They would
you'd probably get all kinds of emails like, hey, honey, can you feed the dog? I'm going to be working late on that hockey stick graph. Or, you know, what? Miss Jenkins, you're the co-ed in the third row. I noticed you had a new hairstyle this morning, and I was wondering if we could discuss that over at the Virginian tonight.
But if the Attorney General...
I'm making all that up.
Yes,
here.
Of course. The Attorney General says, I want to FOIA these papers, then he's not going to get the big headlines that he's after.
Really?
You know? Would he?
He could say, I would like to let the public know I've issued a FOIA as of 9 o'clock this morning.
Maybe that's where he'll go. Maybe that's the recourse he'll have to go to.
Well, this whole thing started from a FOIA, which is what brought it to my attention, which was a member of the Virginia House of Delegates filed a FOIA against Michael Mann, and the UVA said, we looked. We don't have any documents. And that's when... somehow Cuccinelli decided that they must have a backup drive somewhere, and he filed his civil investigative demand.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so this has been FOIA'd.
It has been FOIA'd, but for some reason, instead of just sort of sticking with the FOIA, he decided to ratchet things up, supposedly, with the civil investigative demand. But really, he could ratchet things down with the FOIA.
That's not his style. He's grinding a conservative axe. That's what he's doing. And it's so obvious to anybody that's looking at this. If you don't have a dog in the hunt and you're neither political, you know, you're liberal or conservative, you're just watching, clearly the guy, if you put it in the totality and the context of everything he's doing, this is just another way that he's getting headlines and grinding a political axe on the backs of the university.
Could be. But he, you know, I'm just telling you that there are tools at his disposal that he could use, and he could always do the FOIA, and then he could go back using the information in his FOIA if he felt like he had found the smoking gun, you know, the email that said, hey, I was just down at the Charlottesville Ice Park and I saw a hockey stick and I thought, wouldn't it be great if there were a graph like that? And we could hoodwink the public out of a lot of money. And wouldn't that be fun?
How is it? What's the argument? And I still don't understand this. What's the argument on the part of conservatives that this is the where's the conspiracy? You see what I mean?
Right. Well,
what's the argument? Why would there be this conspiracy to convince people that there's things are heating up in the environment?
That is actually a great question. And as somebody who enjoys reading about natural history, I've been fascinated by the ups and downs of the global temperatures over the eons. We have ice ages every 20,000-30,000 years or so. And the last one, you know, was only like 20,000 years ago. We have warm periods where the whole globe is much warmer than it is right now. And I mean, think about it. People forget that the globe fluctuates like these insane amounts, insane to our temperature standards.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think that there was an ice sheet covering most of North America, including where you and I are sitting right now.
Yeah, and there was a mini ice age in the 18th century, wasn't there, in the 1700s?
They called it the Little Ice Age.
Yeah.
And there was something called the Medieval Warm Period before that, but that's even in dispute. So anyway, I'm fascinated because the globe's temperatures do fluctuate quite a bit. And so why a lot of conservatives are concerned is because all the things that are being brought out to deal with global warming kind of clamp down on business, you know.
So that, yeah, there
taxes,
you go. That's it.
Yeah, taxes on carbon, and the whole cap and trade thing actually came out of conservative economic think tanks.
The cap and trade is a Republican proposal.
Oh, well, then that's why.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, literally, that was a Republican idea that they proposed. John McCain championed.
Okay.
But when the Democrats enacted it, all of a sudden they said, "Oh no, we hate that."
Yeah, I didn't understand that because when I was in college,
called politics.
The cap and trade. It was then called pollution credits or something.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be a free market response instead of just putting out a law that said, no more pollution.
Yeah.
You know, that can...
You could pollute as long as you bought pollution credits from some other company.
Yeah,
To offset your own pollution, you could still keep polluting.
Yeah, exactly. I thought at the time that it was like this way of using the free market system to deal with a seemingly intractable problem and hit it with a little hammer instead of a big hammer.
That's exactly what it was, and it was a Republican proposal, except when the Democrats got in power and said, hey, we really like that idea, and they passed it, then the Republicans freaked and said, this is the end of the world, you got to be crazy, and they just immediately acted like it wasn't their idea and they didn't propose it.
It was
so it's just politics.
Very odd. Very odd.
Very odd. Washington is odd. Indeed.
Indeed.
We're talking with Hoss Spencer. Yeah, what'd you say?
I didn't say nothing. I said, let's go to a commercial break, Coy.
Let's do it. We'll get a Market Watch update. Speaking of the market, this is Charlottesville Right Now. And when we get back, let's talk about this breaking news today. This woman
got shot.
Shot in the breast.
Breast.
While she was gardening.
Yep.
It's 9 minutes before 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. It's 98 degrees in Central Virginia, coming up at 5:08 in just a few minutes. We'll talk about the unhorny women in America. One-third of women aren't interested, and Lori Mentz, in her new book, A Tired Woman's Guide to Passionate Sex, she has the solution. Like, what's this? Is this news today? This happened today?
It happened Sunday afternoon.
Yesterday
last
afternoon.
Night.
What happened?
A lady who was gardening in Glenmore, right on Darby Road, hears what she thinks are firecrackers popping. Next thing she knows, boom, right through the breast.
Where was she?
She was just like watering her Nandinas.
She was in her yard?
In her yard. In upscale gated community Glenmore.
So what happened?
Well,
she's shot in the chest.
Yeah. She describes treated and released at UVA Hospital. Her husband took her there. She describes an entrance and an exit wound. And, no bullet has been recovered, but the Albemarle cops are on it. We didn't go into this in the story, but their press release kept calling it an apparent shooting. Like, maybe there was something else that put a big hole in her breast, but, you know.
This is a very weird story.
It is a weird story, but...
So she's claiming that somebody shot her.
Yeah.
But there's no evidence of...
Well, I mean, the bullet exited.
Did they find the bullet?
No, she was outdoors. There's like you know, her whole yard to explore. Or for all we know, the bullet could be a quarter mile away.
Holy cow.
I mean, you know, people can get killed from a long way away. Remember Malvo and Muhammad?
Yeah,
those guys were like two shopping centers away from their victims.
Yeah. Or out in the, you know, this other part of the world where people fire guns into the air to celebrate things, those bullets come down sometimes and kill people.
They do. They do. So one of them came down in San Antonio, Texas 20 years ago when I was living there and killed a kid on New Year's Eve.
Who was firing a gun in the air in Texas?
It's a standard New Year's celebratory thing.
So is it only in Europe and America and Canada where this isn't done? I didn't know they were doing it in Mexico and Southern
San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah,
that's not Mexico. That's the U.S.
Yeah, but I was just assuming it was not.
I don't know who did it. I mean, there could have been hundreds of thousands of people who could have fired that gun.
You're right. You're exactly right.
San Antonio is a city of over a million.
Could have been an Irish immigrant. You never know.
It could have been.
You know those Irish.
You
like their guns and their potatoes. So this woman's alive.
I like potato guns, but go ahead.
I've never had a potato gun.
Oh, they're the best.
Really? Does it fire potatoes? Pieces of potato?
Yeah. It's usually made of PVC piping, and you throw a little hairspray or a little Lysol in there. And then you put the potato in, and then you hit the igniter.
It's like a homemade bomb.
No, it's like a homemade mortar.
What does it fire? Like a tennis ball?
A potato.
Oh, it fires a hence the name.
Hence the name.
Potato gun.
I got a buddy who built one out of steel. It fires a potato like 3 football fields away.
You're kidding me.
I am not kidding.
How's that could kill somebody?
No, it couldn't.
Death by potato gun?
Nuh-uh.
Get it close enough to a guy's head?
Yeah, well, this friend has a big farm.
I bet this woman wishes she was shot by a potato instead of a bullet.
Exactly right.
So no damage to internal organs and or important things?
Apparently not. I mean, well, I would say the whole structure is important, Coy, but...
Golly, this is a weird story.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's all the truth is there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we did have a lady killed by a hunter's, what appeared to be a hunter's gun back in 1997.
Yeah. Oh, I do remember that.
At Stony Point.
I do remember that. Where was she? She was in her yard, too?
In her yard.
And the bullet killed her by hunters.
Yeah.
I remember I was renting a house down in Cove Garden years ago, a long time ago. This is more than 10 years ago. And there were a lot of hunters that would roam around down there. And I put up signs, you know? Posted, and they took them down because they said, look, you're just renting. You don't live here, and we've always hunted here, and we're going to continue to hunt here, and every time I would put the signs up, the signs would disappear.
Dude, that is so scary. I mean, there was a young girl, young woman in college at Ferrum, right, just last fall, who was killed by a hunter's bullet.
No kidding.
You hear about that?
No, I didn't.
He mistook her for a deer, he said.
Oh, my gosh. Bill's in Charlottesville. Hey, Bill, what's going on? Bill, you with us? Bill? Oh, we lost Bill. There goes Bill.
Bill, try again.
Try again, Bill. Give us a call, 977-1070. So what are you working on? What's the hot news you're chasing right now?
I'll tell you what. I haven't put anything online about it yet, but you're about to see a lot more volleyball in this town.
Really?
Yep.
You know, you lay in bed at night at 3 in the morning, too much coffee, your brain is racing, and you're just thinking to yourself, why don't we have more volleyball in Charlottesville?
Have you ever seen women's volleyball?
Professional women's volleyball.
And do you know what they wear when they play the beach volleyball?
Next to nothing. Is that what you're saying, that is coming to Charlottesville?
I don't know if you're going to see scenes like Olympic volleyball.
Or the kind of volleyball that I saw in the 7th grade. When everybody's wearing those nasty Fairfax County PE outfits.
I don't think there's a dress code, but a volleyball court is coming to University Avenue, and you are the expert of that district.
Really?
The Mem Gym area.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're building it now. That's what they're doing down there, next to the tennis court.
It's like 90% built right by the tennis court.
I know exactly where you're talking about.
Yeah.
Wow. I was wondering what that is.
A sand volleyball court right there on University Avenue.
It's for the, not for the general public, but for UVA students?
It's for students and faculty. It stemmed from a research project that the Comm School students did last year where they were looking at why more people weren't coming out to see the varsity women's volleyball players. And they said, you know, you just need more visibility. And so they built this court.
And you got to be right there on the road.
Right there on the road.
Absolutely amazing. Thank you, Haas Spencer.
Hey, thanks for having me in.
Haas Spencer, founder and editor of The Hook, CBS News. We'll be back.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.